You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart because it came with so much more. It's the ultimate sacrifice. Greatness has a cost. It reschedules your plans for you. It puts your family and friends on hold. It makes you feel misunderstood. And it will put you in some deep, dark holes. Greatness demands everything from you. Your mind, your body, your spirit, and your soul. So what do you do when you shoot 4 air balls in a playoff game? What do you do? Do you sulk? Do you weep? When you disappointed all of your teammates, when you let down all of the fans, do you ask for sympathy? Do you ask, why me? When they blast the coach for keeping you in the game, do you blame yourself? When they've drawn up their own conclusions about how your career is going to end, do you wish you could go back in time and make a different decision? Or do you get off of the plane and go straight to Palisades High and get the janitor to open up the gym and lock yourself in there until the sun comes up? And you go shoot, and you drill, and you relive that moment and change the outcome over and over again. Decisions shape our destiny, and obsession can be beautiful. What separated me is not a gift. It was a hunger. A hunger to hunt when others would eat. A hunger to hone in when others thought they perfected. They had a crossover. They had a fadeaway. They all wanted rings. But they also had obligations. They weren't willing to cut it all off. See, it's not just about going to the court, shooting, dribbling, practicing the same move again and again. No, no. Lack of skill is from a lack of mind on and off the court. From a little boy sitting on the ball in the park to a grizzled veteran on his last legs, it's been a mission from day one. To impart what I know so you can better understand yourself. I'm here because the game needed me as much as I needed it. The game was my comfort, a platform to grow and teach others the same. It was where I learned about the terrors and joys of life, of ice baths and buzzer beaters, of struggle and of gold, and everything in between. It was where I transformed the darkness to come closer to the light. And it always brought a new challenge, a flaw that needed to be healed. And the game would send the medicine directly my way. And you will have to make that choice for yourself, whether that treatment would be worth it or not. For you. But greatness cannot come without that cost. How do you press enough without pressing too hard? How do you go far enough if you don't go too far? How do you get 11 others to begin their relentless pursuit? To duplicate yourself, not in terms of skill, but in terms of competitive spirit. To instill the intensity, to impart that DNA, so they can be champions on the court and men off of it. How do you prove to the world who you really are? To honestly express yourself? The media will paint a story. The fans and critics will create their own. But no one's expectation, no one's, could live up to my own.
I am that killer snake. You know, I'm stone cold, man.
My love to become more and to give more. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel.
I always think that there's two types of players, players who love to win and players who hate to lose. Which one are you?
I'm neither.
Meaning?
Neither. Meaning that, you know, I play to figure things out. I play to learn something, right? Because I think if you play with a fear of failure, or you play with the will to win, or that supersedes the fear of failure, I think it's a weakness either way, right? Because if you play with the fear of failing, you'll have the pressure on yourself to play, you know, to capitulate to that fear. If you play with the sense of I want to win, then you have the fear of what happens if you don't. But if you find common ground in the middle, in the center, then it doesn't matter. You're unfazed by either, right? And that enables you to really just stay in the moment, stay connected to it, and not feel anything other than what's in front of you. So, you know, I try to just be dead center.
So a lot of people in general are afraid of failure. How did you become one of those people who doesn't seem to be afraid of failing?
It doesn't exist. It's not existent. What the hell does that mean? Seriously, what does failure mean? It doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. What does
Why
it mean?
You pulling the Jedi mind trick on me right
serious.
Now. I'm like,
no,
does
like,
it exist?
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm trying to think, like, how can I explain it? So let's use happy endings, right? And then we can relate this to failure, why it's not existent. Like, you know, everybody talks about, like, everybody wants a happy ending, right? Now let's go to the reality of it, right? Let's look at a fairy tale story. Let's look at Snow White. Mm-hmm. She gets a happy ending. She finds Prince or whatever. She goes on. She lives happily ever after. Well, I call bullshit on that, because 2 months later, the fact is they had an argument and he's sleeping on the couch. Right? So the point is, the story continues. The story continues. So if you fail on Monday, the only way it's a failure on Monday is if you decide to not progress from that, right? So to me, that's why failure is not existent. Because, you know, if I fail today, I'm going to learn something from that failure, and I'm going to try again on Tuesday. And I fail, and I'm going to try again on Wednesday. So it doesn't exist.
You know what? Should my ratings go in the tank? That's exactly what I'm gonna say to the bosses. Hey, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but you know what?
We should try it again on Thursday.
If your ratings go in the tank, and you know, which they won't, but if they did, you had learned a valuable lesson. You had learned a bunch of ways of how not to make a show that sucks. So then the next one would be better than the last one, right?
So are you telling me then, let's just say all the career statistics that you've compiled, they all still exist, still play for the Lakers, still, and all of that still happens. If you finished your career without a championship, you would not have looked at that as a failure?
No, I would have looked at it as being extremely disappointed, because I had a dream and I had goals that I wanted to accomplish, right? And if I don't accomplish those goals, I have to ask myself why, right? And so from my position, the reason why I would not have accomplished those things is poor leadership, failure to communicate properly with my teammates, to put them in positions to be successful, lack of preparation, you know, all those things would be reasons why I don't win, right? So now, if that was the case, in my career, I have to sit and I have to analyze that. And then as I move and I evolve, you know, post-basketball into business or whatever, those same weaknesses are going to reveal themselves there, right? So if I don't learn from that, I'm going to struggle here too, right? So I can take those situations and learn from those and have them, you know, make me a better person later in life. But if I don't take that stuff and apply that someplace else, then that's failing, which to me is the worst possible thing you could ever have, is to stop and to know.
If you're new to the Impact Secret Podcast Show, welcome to the family. To my existing family, big up. As always, I appreciate and thank you for joining. On this podcast show, we shift the mindset through inspiration, motivation, with a standing foundation of self-discipline. I am your respectful host, ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, look, that just simply means Ed. You know the motto, the slogan here, bet on yourself. You can't win unless you get in a game and win. I mean, I'm in play, my bag. You know the quote here that we're living by Bob Marley. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. One question and two thought-provoking statements. First question, how do you manage your emotions in the face of perceived failure? Again, how do you manage your emotions in the face of perceived failure? Thought-provoking statement number one, blaming yourself, blaming yourself. Thought-provoking statement number two, failure does not exist. Failure does not exist. Today's episode is entitled Connecting the Dots, Failure. Connecting the dots, failure. Let's jump into today's show. You know, family, I remember when I had heard the commencement speech that Steve Jobs had done for Stanford in, I think it was 2005. And one of the things he said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust in the dots will somehow connect you in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, or whatever. And I thought that was very strong statement during that his speech, because a lot of times, family, we experience a lot of, I don't want to call them setbacks. I'll call it a lot of learning opportunities that we was not ready for, or we thought we were prepared for to handle. And we experience something and we're asking the question, like, why me? Why did this happen to me? I was prepared. I did everything that was asked of me. I came ready. Why did I still not meet the mark? As you were listening, one of the things about that I enjoy about Kobe, when he was asked that question about winning or losing, he really explained that. And that's so true. When you focus so much on winning and then you don't win, now what? And then if you're scared of losing, and now you have a fear of losing, and now you're just doing, you're doing, I'll say, extra, or being, as my cousin would say, you're being extra about something, when not understanding it's a process. A lot of times, family, we want to skip the process. We want to be in a position where it works the first time. We hate to be wrong. We hate to be in a situation where we thought this was it. We thought this was the relationship. We thought this was the job opportunity. We thought that in making this investment, we were going to be millionaires, or we were going to change our life, and we were going to be able to live a life that we've dreamed of, but we don't understand there's a process behind that. That's why, you know, if you've listened to, you know, older episodes, I would have rants about the course industry. And when I say that is that when people would create courses to just sell them, not really to instruct you, not to really build you up in a way where you literally should be able to go out and duplicate what they've done, and or I should say, get the success that they're offering you. And it is frustrating, because I've spent money on countless of courses, and there were some amazing courses that I went through, but then there were courses that I went through, and when I finished it, I was like, I could have just Googled all of this. Now, don't get it twisted. Now, when it comes to when someone's building a course, they're supposed to be creating a shortcut so you don't have to go Google, so you don't have to go watch a whole bunch of videos, you don't have to go listen to a whole bunch of different audios. They've compound everything into one single thing. And you know, I would have these rants, family, from time to time, of because I was frustrated of the fact of what I was purchasing wasn't as advertised. And a lot of times, you know, we'll like, you know, man, I can't believe that I spent that money, or I can't believe I invested that time to have this conversation with someone and it turned out the way that it did, instead of taking a step back and saying, wait a minute, I'm glad that happened that way. Because see, now when I go build my course, or when I go, if I have, you know, when I go build my business, I know to make sure that I create an environment, a learning environment, or I create an environment in which an employee has an opportunity to thrive, to ensure that I put my best foot forward, that I'm not all talk, that is action behind what I'm saying. And that's how you have to approach it. It's not a failure, family. You just because you went for that job opportunity and it didn't go in your favor, you didn't fail. You just learned that this door is not meant for you to walk through. Instead of getting upset and frustrated, you need to be clapping your hands. You need to be thinking, whoever you pray to or whoever you believe in, I should say, and be grateful. Because if that would have went a different way for you, now you're in a situation that you're thinking, how did I get here? I don't know about you, family, but there's been many times when I ask myself, how did I even get? Why am I even here? Because it doesn't align with my goals. It doesn't align with what I was looking to do. However, again, being able to take that work, that the environment that you're in, and again, taking that step back, understanding that this is not a failure. Yeah, so maybe you were. I just seen an article recently where Bill and I think it's her name, Melinda, are getting a divorce after all of these years. And people are like, you know, that's crazy. How is this happening? And, why they couldn't stay together. That's just like, now what's the point of you even getting married? See, family, you don't know the dynamics of their relationship. You don't know what has happened. You don't understand. And because you don't know, you can't put assumptions or put your perceived value of what someone should do. And that's why I always look at life as far as when things happen that I thought should have worked out in my favor, or things should have been, you know, I should be further along. I got to ask myself, what have I not been doing, or what can I do to actually improve to make sure that I'm ready for the next time the opportunity comes around, that I'm prepared for the next situation that comes around? When I started to make the shift to the 3 a.m. schedule, I have to admit, it is exhausting, but the work that I'm able to produce out of it, the focus time that I get when I'm actually working on something. That's why Kobe would always say, you know, a lot of people, they are interested in, they were interested in wanting to be the best, but they couldn't be committed enough because they had other obligations. So when you know that if you're chasing a dream and there's something that you know that you really truly want to do, and you want to give it your all and be committed, make no excuses, only search for results, you have to make sure that you have a partner or somebody that has your same interest. Because if you don't, then that's what, and I believe, and I don't want to speak for Kobe, but unpacking it, that's what I got out of it. I got that it's important of the company you keep around you, because if you don't have people that are just as hungry to be in a better position, that want to have a better mindset, it doesn't matter what you do, because as you continue to grow and grow, you will find that you'll start leaving people behind. I remember when I was, I started pulling away from certain friends, and it wasn't intentional. It wasn't like, oh, I'm not, I don't want to hang out with you or kick it with you or anything like that. It was just because of what I was doing. you know, it got to the point where they just stopped calling me, you know, because they would call and say, hey, you know, we about to go to the club, or we about to go to this, you know, this little pool party or whatnot. Won't you come hang out with us and go? And I was like, man, I can't go. I got to study for this test, or I'm actually working on this book that I've been reading, and I want to make sure I understand it, because I'm trying to understand taxes, I'm trying to understand business, so I won't be able to go out, because this is the only time that I really have a full day, because I'm off today, so I'll have to pass on that. Or when an opportunity came up, it was funny too, I had a friend call me, was like, man, we over here, because I used to love Madden. Back in the day, Madden, and a friend called me and said, man, we having a Madden tournament. No, when I tell you I was a Madden junkie, like I would play that online and, you know, just again, play it online. And so a friend was like, man, we having a tournament. We're going to have food. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have some drinks over here. Just come out and just hang out, man. And I was like, man, sorry, I won't even be able to do it, because where I'm going, that no longer, I'm no longer obsessed with a man. I'm more obsessed with finding ways to get better personally, because I feel like your attitude is really that is so true. Your attitude is truly your longitude. So when you look at failure, family, you have to put a different lens on. You have to, when you put that different lens on and see that maybe that situation that you were counting on to work out didn't work out, and you should be, and it didn't work the way that you wanted. Again, I'm telling you, you need to be excited. I know you probably wanted it so bad, and you probably did everything possible that you can think of, but it does get to a point, what Steve Jobs had said in that commencement speech, the only way you can see why something didn't really truly work out and being able to connect those dots is when you look backwards. That's why I always give the analogy of when you're driving in your car, you have a rear view mirror and a windshield. The rear view mirror is to allow you to look, to glance and to basically glance and see what's behind you, but then look out the front shield window while you're driving. But if you get too caught up in looking in the rear view, you'll miss what's in front of you. And a lot of times, family, wait a minute, I think I need to slow that down. I said, if you spend too much time looking in the rear view mirror instead of looking out the front windshield, you're going to miss a lot of things that are meant for you, that are waiting on you. So in that case, you have to keep a windshield mentality, a front windshield mentality, and only be able to glance back at the things that you wanted to work in your favor, things that you were not as successful as you wanted to be, as an opportunity to learn. I think school has had a negative impact when it came to that. They made failure, in a sense, and when I define failure, meaning you took a test you didn't do well as on, or you were trying to learn something and you weren't picking it up as fast, or you weren't learning it as fast. They made that seem as a failure. So people were so afraid to have moments like that to learn that they started finding alternative ways by either cheating or find it, just basically whatever it took to get past that class, but never really learning anything. It was just like, let me memorize, but they never learned how to actually do the thing. And I think that's the part of education that troubles me, because in life, that's not what happens in life. In life, you may be working a job and they decide that they need to lay people off, and that effect, and you're one of the people that get laid off, and that may have a negative effect, and that may take away your self-confidence, and now you're even nervous to go and apply for another job, or even, you know, go on another interview, because you're afraid that the same thing that happened before to you is going to happen again. And so that's why I always push people to say, is that step back approach, is that front shield windshield approach, because if you don't take that approach in life, you're going to constantly be blaming yourself and And you know what I always talk about here, especially in mental health, and that anxiety and depression will really just kick in to a point where it won't allow you to get outside yourself. It won't allow you to move the self that's trying to block you from your destiny and your goals. So family, I'll wrap up here and I'll close here because I said I was going to keep this episode, you know, under 30 minutes if possible. But what I want to tell you, family, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the perceived failure, and that's what I put in my question to you was, you know, how do you manage your emotions in the perceived failure? Now, we know what perception is basically a sense of, and this is the ED remix of perception. To me is really not understanding the thing that you're looking at, because, or that you're believing in, because you're having an assumption thought, like, this is what I believe it is. And until you actually dig in and understand it, you can't have a knowledge about the thing. So all I'm saying to you, family, whatever is troubling you with regards to the things you're going after, and it hasn't happened for you yet, or it seems like it's taking longer than you expected, or you had an opportunity that you were truly excited about, but then the door was closed, I challenge you to keep your head up, pick your head up, and get back to work. Always get back to work. And that's how I solve a lot of things that I experience in life, family, is I always get back to work, because the work, as far as the details of the things I can do better, and what I learn from certain situation will allow me to ensure that I have a path forward. And when you know that you have a path forward, it doesn't matter what happened in the path behind you. I'm telling you, if you're not picking up what I'm laying down today, family, I don't know what else to say, but I'll end it with this. Whatever you do, keep moving forward. Until next time. This has been your respectful host, ED, and this has been another Impact Secret podcast show. Peace.